All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let's continue the discussion and the Word of God, and after that we complete it by making our bold declarations in the Lord Jesus. Don't forget that we read that last time from the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly open to it. Let us start with that. The book of Hebrews. Now he said from verse 5, he said, let your character be free from the love of money. And this is manifested in that you are content with that which you have. He said, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, like King James says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. He said, what shall man do to me? Remember, we've been talking about the laws of confessions. And I think we should conclude it. I've been saying concluded for the last two, three sessions, but I hope today will be the conclusion. So I began to speak last time about this matter of bold declaration. And remember what we said, we've been saying it again and again. The reason why we declare boldly is not because of our own calculations. The reason why we declare boldly is not even because of our desires. The reason why we declare boldly is because of what God said. So he said, because he said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, not ever. He said, for that reason, we can say the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. There's nothing that anybody can do to me. That's what he was saying. So when we know the word of God, you know, we talk about the law of illumination. If we don't know what he said, we will not know what we should say boldly. Now, you know, there's something I've been thinking about for a while, and as I was driving down from the office to this place, that the thing was in my mind again, and I believe the Holy Spirit gave me illumination. You know, a lot of times we talk about confession, which we've been talking about now, and then we'll talk about prophecies, prophesying. You understand my point? And I said, what is the difference between confession and prophecy? Now, they are very similar, and I'm sure even when I will be teaching, I will have mixed both of them up many, many times. But there's actually a slight difference between the two of them. In fact, there is a large difference. The thing they have in common are the fact that, number one, we use our mouths to do both of them. And number two, both of them affect the things that occur around us. But what they refer to is actually different. What is a confession? Confession is when you state things the way they really are. That's what a confession is. What did I say? When you state things the way they really are. That is, the way they are now, when we say that, then that is a confession. What do I mean? I don't mean your physical situation in life. No, that's not what I mean. I mean what they really are like. There's what is real, and there's that which is apparent. The Bible says that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. By faith, we understand that, so that we know that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. So, in everything we see, there is a visible side, and there is what? The invisible side. And the invisible side, actually, is the one that's the foundation for the visible side. So when I'm talking about the way things really are, I am talking about that which is invisible. I'm not talking about that which is outside. I'm talking about that which is real. You know, the Lord Jesus will tell you that lay up treasures for yourself in heaven, where moths do not destroy, neither do thieves break in and steal. Now, you know, I've explained that before, that he wasn't saying that do things so that you will get a reward when you get to heaven. That's not what he was saying. He was saying lay up your treasure, just like you can bank your money in a bank, you can keep it there for safekeeping. In the same manner, he said you can put things in heaven. It doesn't mean you have to die and go to the bank before you can spend the money you have in the bank. In the same manner, you don't have to die and go to heaven before the treasure that is in heaven can affect your life. Now, please, I'm trying to explain something here. What he meant when he said that is that keep your things where they can't be destroyed. The way I explain it is this. Job, even though Satan touched his things outwardly, he could not touch the things that were real. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Please, it's the things that are invisible that are the things that are real. So when I'm talking about stating things the way they really are, I am talking as Christians. We put our emphasis on the things that really are in the realm of the spirit. You know, there's one I say all the time. Let me say it again. You know, you keep on saying these things because they are the real things that affect Christians. For example, somebody will say, I have a problem, or I have problems. And he said, what is the issue? He said, I think there is a curse working in my life. It's a lie. Amen? Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's a lie. How are things really for the child of God? He said, everyone that believed has passed out of
death into life. So what is a confession? No matter how I feel, somebody came to me the other day. He said, sir, pray for me. It was one of my students. I said, what's the issue? He said, I think a curse is worrying me. I said, why? He said, I've done the last three exams I failed. Now, that's how things appear. You understand? But if she, the lady talking to me, assuming she's a real believer, I don't know her that well, right? She just came up to me and said, I should pray. Now, assuming she's a real believer, she just told me a lie. I don't care what her experience is like. That's not how they really are. So a confession is to declare things the way they really are. That I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. Let me say this to you again, please. I need to just say this. You know, I quote this thing for us a lot. It's not the scripture, but somebody said it, and it's so powerful. It was talking about imagination being greater than willpower. Now, the way you react to things in life is actually the way you imagined them to be. Let me tell you this, you're going to laugh. You know, my brain plays a lot. In fact, I've told my brain over the last few days, stop playing anyhow. You are going to now do some things differently. So now I've told myself I'll be singing more songs so as to keep my mind on things that are more important. So I think a lot, you know, I'm just thinking about situations. So yesterday, my wife's car stopped. There was an issue with the radiator had an issue, so water flowed out of it, and then so it overheated. So she had to leave it there so he wouldn't spoil it. Mechanic came to call, fix it up there, but he also left it there. So at night when I came from work, I said, "Let me go and pick it up." My wife said she took the children to ShopRite, my son's birthday, so they all went to ShopRite. So anyway, I got Yinka to drop me in ShopRite to go and pick the car. It was night, so now listen to this. You're going to laugh. From shop, I went to ShopRite. Akinlu brought the key out for me. So I now started trekking myself from ShopRite to where the car was in front of Park Lane. That place is a bit lonely at night. So this, don't ask me why I thought like that too. And I was carrying my phones in my left hand. And I use two interesting phones. So one is quite a big, you know, very what they call it. My phone is a really smart phone. You understand? No, I use a LG Optimus 3D, you understand? It's quite a big phone. It's an expensive phone. And I had a small BlackBerry with it. So I just held my phone. I was good. And it's nice. So my mind started thinking about, you know, I said, if any boy come approach me and I say, I want to teach my phone, I will just tell him that he's not serious. And I will slap his face. You know, I was just thinking things like that. That I said, do you know who I am? You know, I'm a man of God. You know, I was just thinking, and I was walking. This is the interesting part. As I was walking on, one poor young man decided to cross the road at that point to my side of the road. If you see the way I reacted. That is, in that instant, I was poised for a fight. My eye scanned his body for where he's holding his gun. I'm telling you, all of this in a second. Just because... Before I got there, I had been rehearsing in my mind because I was walking alone on the road at night, dark, holding, you know, expensive phones. So, you know, you just start hearing stories of, and as I was walking, one young guy just going his own, maybe he's going to ShopRite. The guy just crossed the road at the, that is, at the very spot I was getting to. He just crossed and came to that side. Man, I don't react like, oh boy, you want to try? You know that? Bobo just kept on going on his own. In fact, he had earphones in his ear. He didn't even know who this nigga is or what concerns him. He was just going his own. I told myself, I said, can't you see imagination? You can imagine that he came to ask me for direction. I thought, don't blow the guy one blow. Come on, move back. Now, in life, listen, oh God, let me tell you the truth, you just have to pray all the time. That's all you can do. Because all this talk, people talk, they create things in our minds that prevent us from, let me put it like this, they prevent us from doing exactly what we are supposed to do or being exactly what we are supposed to be. I told you something what happened in my office the other day. Let's talk in a natural plane. We were three people on the same level that could head the department. But for like 6 years, headship was jumping me every time. Now, this is Nigeria. Are you getting my point? Now, those of you who know me know that I didn't want the job because of my ministry work. It's a lot of added responsibility when they make you head of department, because you head the department both in the university and in the teaching hospital. And it's a lot of work. And especially if you now have, I mean, the distance between the two is over 30 kilometers. And you have to cover both places. And it's, I mean, it's, I've been doing it now for the last, over a year now. So it's really a lot of work. So I didn't want it, but in fact, I used to pray against it. Now, but outwardly, you're looking at it. My friend, Dr. Nzegu, was head of department 1 year, the next year. Then, was first Dr. Okafor, then, that's for 2 years, then went to Nzegu for 2 years. And naturally, they're just, we're all the same rank, you know, senior lecturers. So you expect the next level to now be me. But I went back to Okafor again. That's Nzegu, that's Okafor, Nzegu, jumped Olushina. You know, this is Nigeria. What's the story? What is the interpretation? Something even happened. There was a time, Nzegu being my friend for a long time, he traveled, he went to the U.S. for a conference for a few weeks. And in that interval, he said, I should please act. No, something happened. Oh, something happened along the line. I forgot to mention that to you. Something happened in the department, and we had Okafor removed. Not as if we did, but, I mean, there was a serious matter. So we reported the matter to the big bosses and the provost, and they removed him and put... I was glad anyway, all right? They put Nzegu back. You know, it was as if they were just tossing between the two people. Then, in that period, Nzegu traveled, and I was being my friend. I was supposed to act for him for the period, for just a few weeks. A week after I started acting for him, there was an issue again. They took this thing and gave it back to Okafor. Yeah, you get my point? It was clear case of what? It was very clear, wasn't it? But how do you know? Were you there? Are you getting my point? There was nothing clear about it. People told me tribalism. I said, listen, I don't have the ability to conceive it. I told them. People told me to my face that this is tribalism. I said to them, I'm sorry. I don't have the ability to conceive that thing. I said, I don't. And for your information, nobody who is going to live long discriminates against me. I said, in case you did not know it now. If the vice chancellor tries it, God in heaven knows I'm not joking, I will remove him from that seat. And I won't pray about it though. If he just choosing VCs and he says, this guy is a Yoruba, my beg, give me an Igbo man. That's it, he's gone. And I won't know about it. Before I came to Enugu, those G's came up. And I said, no, Joseph was a Jew, was an Israelite, and he was in Egypt, and he became prime minister. Those words brought me down here. I have never... Once I had an argument with people inside traffic. One of my friends was on the phone. He said, no, you know, you're not from there. I said, not from where? Let anybody try me. That's why I walk where I walk boldly. I'm not afraid of anything. They say, okay, we are going to do traditional wedding or burial in one deep interior village. I go there. This God is my witness. I don't even feel uncomfortable. I walk boldly. You understand what I'm saying? I stand straight. God even now added to it over time. People will now say, that's Pastor Banky. So people will be shaking my hand and bowing and greeting. The gist I'm coming to is this. When that happened, I told people, I said, listen, it's not possible. In my mind, I said, God knows I don't have time. That was my own interpretation. Let me summarize the whole thing for you. I was right. Don't ask me how I knew, but the fact is, there was absolutely nothing like that going on. Now, I'm coming to something here. But you see, another of my colleagues wanted to come into that department, and they did not appoint him. And listen to what he said, though. He said it is statism. Not tribalism now. It is what? I sat him down. I said, I don't believe you are saying what you are saying. He began to explain to me why it is. I was looking. Then I told him this story I just told you. And I said, but do you know I refused to accept it was tribalism and it was not? He's a believer. So he said, you know, in medicine, you call your seniors chief. So he said, chief, you must be commended. He said it to me. He said, that was your response? I must admit, you demand commendation. You are getting what I'm explaining. I'm bringing an issue here. Your imagination is what I'm talking about. Many people are going around in life, they have a few problems. Their interpretation of what is this? This is their interpretation. I have a curse working in my life. God is my witness. I have had problems in life too. But it has never dawned on me, crossed my mind, that I have a curse working in my life because I can't. God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I have had problems too. But it has never crossed my mind that there's a curse working in my life. Why? Because it is written, he that believed in him must pass out of death into life. For this cause was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. If any man is in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. I said to you before, listen, Christians can have problems in life. It's not a sign of a curse. It can be a sign of ignorance. It can be a sign of unbelief. It can be what the Bible calls a trial of your faith. There are many things that do these things to Christians. One of them is not because the devil smoked Indian hemp. No. And he now lost direction. He does not know where his boundary is again. I went all of that time to explain something. There's a way things are, really. Our imaginations, they cause us to react to life wrongly. And therefore, we receive things wrongly. You understand my point? Instead of us saying things the way they really are, we allow the things outside, which we interpreted based on our confused imagination. Remember my story? I was just walking on the road. But because I was thinking funny thoughts, the first young man that crossed in my direction, the first impression that this guy is a thief and he wants to steal my phone. Where the young man was going his own direction. Many times in life, people have issues. Instead of them to state things the way they really are, they start saying things the way they appear to be. And that appearance is even falsely interpreted. I did an exam 3 times, I failed. It means I'm cursed. No, it only means you know no book. And anybody with a notebook, what are you supposed to do? Go and learn book. That's all it means. You go and learn more book. If I do an exam and I don't do well, I don't think it's not a curse. It just means I did not read enough. So I go back home and go and cook more, you know, book and eat it and make sure I recognize it. Why? Because nobody, listen, even if you showed me a vision and I saw 3 toothless old women cooking, strange amphiosus and armadillo parts inside a cauldron of blood. And they are shouting, hey, Pastor Banky. I will just wake up and say they must be worshipping me. That's the only interpretation that will come to my mind. He said, they were trying to raise up a curse against you. I said, then if you know them, go and check their homes. They are dead. I said, go. If you know them, go to their homes. If they are still alive, I'm not called of God. I said, but forget it. Don't even look for anybody's home. They don't exist. They don't exist. You listen, the devil, look. He's not my friend. He's not my mate. You understand my point? And I know it, and he knows I know it. I said to you before, you know, there are things that the devil wants in your life. One of them is this. He wants to persuade you that God is telling lies. He doesn't have the power to do any other thing more than persuade you that what you thought you believed is that it's not like that. Oh, has God really said thou art blessed? Yes, so I was in Bible study last week. That's what they said. But you are broke right now. Is that a sign of a blessing? I'm not sure. Say after me. I'm not blessed because I'm broke. And people will go and say after him. And this country rough, man will just die. They won't have to repeat, I'm not blessed because I'm broke. It's just as they are talking. My man don't die. That is, as the devil say, I agree with you. Say it again. I say it enough times. You carry your words to God in heaven. Says you, this guy can't break through. Why? Because he said himself that I can't. Please, I hope you're following my point. Let me get back to where I started from. What's a confession? A confession is to state things the way they really are. And how are they really? That's the real side that took me into all of this talk. The real side, or you understand, is what God has said about them. That's the only one we can use to interpret what is going on. But that's the only one. That is the only one. Because every other thing, you know, human beings, it's easy to just get confused. Because everybody is saying his own. The only one, you know, every time I watch science, then they talk here, talk there, go there. The more I watch the confusion, the more I believe in the scriptures. Because life must have a reference. And the reference is the word of God. So confession is to state things the way God said they are. That's the first thing, that's what the confession is. Now, you know, I said I want to differentiate between what's a confession and what? Prophecy, all right? Prophesying. Remember, we've talked about prophecy being what? A tool, being a weapon, you understand? It's not just that, because it's not a prediction, all right? Prophecy, a prediction is I've calculated the way things are going on, and I believe that in the next 2 years, this was going to happen. That's a prediction. A prophecy is different, and this is different between a confession and a prophecy. In prophesying, what we are doing is to arrange what is supposed to be. Are you getting my point? We are trying to arrange things into a pattern. That's what prophesying is. So for a believer, they go together. You understand? They're always going together. They're always going together. They're always going together. Every day in life, challenges come up. The pressure in life comes up, demanding that you state things the way you believe they are. And this is a confession. If this is what God said about it, then I say exactly what God said. Remember what we talked about? He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And we say, well, how did you overcome? By the word of the testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says that we have come to a blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So the blood of Jesus speaks. And the man, the woman who will overcome is the person whose testimony is that whose testimony is the same as that which the blood is speaking. Are you getting my point? That's just the way it is. The person who will overcome, the Bible says that the spirit of prophecy, you understand? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So it's what the Lord Jesus has said, what his shed blood has said about you, that's the way by which you overcome. It is not by shouting, I overcome the devil by the blood, by the blood, by the blood, by the blood. Many people are shouting out blood every day. They are denying the things that the blood is speaking every day. I don't want to, in fact, I almost got sidetracked there. You know, I told, but let me sidetrack it and let me join the sidetrack, amen, just for half a minute. Listen, Ed Cole said, practical atheism is not raising a fist and saying there is no God. He said it is living as if there is none. Listen, when we talk about disagreeing with the blood of Jesus, a lot of people do it every day. They don't realize it. The very common, the easy one to understand, which is very common amongst us, all right? Amongst Christians is when we divide ourselves based on denominations. When a Christian says, I can't marry from that area because they are not our people, that person has insulted the blood of Jesus. It's an insult. It's an insult. Is an insult, because that blood made all into one body. So every time you divide that body, you are fighting that blood. They are little things. The one that's most common worldwide, if you watch it on TV every day, America will have problems if it does not relate with Israel properly. But America will not have problems if it does not relate with the Nigerian Christian properly. If America comes and insults the Nigerian Christian, the Ugandan Christian, the Chinese Christian, there's no problem. As long as it's in solid defense of Israel. Because they are the people of God. That's an insult to the blood of Jesus. Because that blood broke down the dividing wall. And the promises of God are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. So the promise to the seed of Abraham, or the promise of the seed of Jacob, is that America should relate with them. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And that's a promise. That also, the Bible says they are only confirmed in Christ Jesus. So if America treats me badly, their dollar will fall. As black as I am,
I'm not a Jew. I'm not going to Israel. I don't even believe in pilgrimage. It's sightseeing. Amen? You're not a Muslim. It's Muslims that must go to Mecca once in their lifetime. Let's be careful that we don't insult the blood, though. You know, I've been warning people. That's a matter of fact. Now, please, so, let me just continue what I'm saying. So, that's how we overcome. It's not by shouting, the blood of Jesus. No, the blood speaks. Let's agree with the blood. Let's agree with the blood. You can't be praying to God and having another set of rules that you are guiding your life by. God, this year, you are going to give me a very good wife. Amen? Just make sure she's not from Aaron Dizogo. I don't understand those people. Other prayer has been nullified. There's no faith in it. And this is the sad part. That's not the only part of your life it will affect. That is the dangerous part of it. Listen, the Christianity, no be joke. I was reading the story this morning, one of those books I told you I ordered. I read the first chapter early hours of this morning. An Egyptian woman, a Muslim, and a man preached to. You know, she saw the man in a dream. The Lord just appeared to her in a dream and said, my friend will explain other things to you. So who's your friend? Just saw the guy in the dream. Next day she went to the market and saw the man. You know, the same clothes, same everything. So she pursued after the fellow. You are the one, you are the one, you are the you are the one. The guy like, what did I do? Let's make a long story short. After 2 hours of teaching her the word of God and everything, the man said something to her. This is what I'm going to. Now this one, this walk is a dangerous walk. Are you ready to die for Jesus? So the woman looked. After a while, he saw the resolve in her face through her veil. You know, she was veiled, you know, real. And she said, yes. And they parted ways. Christianity is not a joke. That's why I told the story. You know, we are very funny. Some of us, we are fighting over, can I marry from there or not marry from there? When people are fighting whether I'll stay alive or die, I don't know whether you get my point. But I'm married from a strange place. At least God is saying, no, if it's there, I will be ready to die. Now I go marry from this dangerous area. As a sign, then God will spare you that death, maybe. Christianity is not a joke. Triumphing by the blood of Jesus. Are you getting my point? Listen, it means that the blood speaks and we are ready to accept not the sweet part. Listen, if you have an advantage, no, if you have a disadvantage in life, that disadvantage is as strong in your life as the confidence you have in your advantages. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. In Christ Jesus, we can be anything. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you have a disadvantage in life that's trying to stop you from being something, that's trying to prevent you from getting to where God says you'll get to in life, that disadvantage is as strong as your hold on your advantages. I pray you get what I'm trying to explain. That is, you can't confess the blood upon your disadvantages and then don't do the same upon your advantages, naturally speaking now. If your confidence is in your degree, your connections, your father is a former president and all of that, all the problems of life that you are entitled to because of the inherited genes from that man, they remain yours. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Their strength is directly related to your confidence in your natural advantages. That's why Paul said, even though I had all these advantages, he said, I counted them all as dung. Because without that, I cannot attain to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. If I don't, I can't know him and the power of his resurrection. So, you know what we like to do? If I have a PhD, I'm well connected, I don't bother praying about those areas. I face these areas where I have disadvantages. Because I lump them together, all of them are a problem. All flesh is what? Grass. Whether it's a PhD flesh or an illiterate flesh. All flesh is what? Grass. Whether it's PhD it has or it's an illiterate flesh, all of them, grass. That's what I mean. Oh, the Lord is good.
You know, if you're a preacher, sometimes you just realize you don't belong to yourself when you start saying things you didn't plan to say. I was still trying to get back to my the main thing I'm saying. All right. Now, so the point I'm making, right? Let me just get back there. So I'm trying to differentiate between confession, all right, and prophesying. What's confession? God says something, and we state those things the way they are, all right? Now, what is prophesying? I said prophesying is when we are arranging that which has not yet occurred into form, the form that which we want it to be in, which God commanded that that's the way he wants the thing to be in. So we can prophesy, for example, upon our environment. We can prophesy upon our nation. We can prophesy into the health sector. We can prophesy into our families. We can prophesy, you know, in areas that we have authority. What we are doing by prophecy is that we are exercising the authority that God has given us. So you look at maybe like now, fuel is scarce in Nigeria. You understand my point? You can prophesy into that area. You can prophesy. In fact, one of the things I want to explain, in fact, I intended to do that at the beginning. Let me quickly do it before I go into the rest of the things that we have to do today, all right? So we can prophesy into different things. Prophecy is for order. Okay, now talking about prediction, all right? Prediction is when we calculate things together. Prophecy is we don't care what things are like right now that we can see. We speak a word so as to arrange the future into what we want it to be. You know, let me just quickly talk about predictions. Now, that's the thing that I want to quickly do, and then we'll get back to what we're doing. And I've told you a lot of times, if I'm watching TV, most of the time I'm watching news, all right? News commentaries, news analysis, that's what I like to watch on TV, okay? I don't have so much time for other forms of entertainment, you know, just news. I like to know what's going on in the world. If my children know so much, if I walk in and they say, maybe they were watching something else and I want to watch TV, they just know which one of the like three news channels, they just ask, which one do you want? They know that's usually what I want. They switch it over to me for me and then they walk out of the place. Now, so because of that, I see a lot of things happening in the country, in the world. And please, follow me what I want to say. First is a warning, all right? And I want us to take it as prayer before we leave here today. Now, this is how people predict wrongly a lot. Right now, there's serious fight in Syria. Do you understand? And it doesn't cross our mind that that kind of thing can occur in Nigeria. Now, I'm not saying that it will occur. But let me quickly say, the only reason why it won't occur is because you and I say it won't. It's not because it's unlikely. You get what I'm saying? Remember Rwanda and Burundi? All right? 800,000 people murdered by the hands of their neighbors in just a few months. Listen to me. The reason why it's not happening in Nigeria is not because it's unlikely. It is simply because we say, and we continue to say, and we'll say again today that it will not happen. I remember those days when we watch one African leader, people like Mobutu Sese Seko declared themselves eternal ruler. You know, some other days. And we watch another one. And I remember I was a young man in university. And we used to say, man, since like this can ever happen in Nigeria, forget. What's wrong with this African self? Then you see another African leader. Is it Banda? What's it, that man, Central African Republic? He declared himself eternal father. You know what I'm saying? And then you said, this like this can never happen in Nigeria. Then you have to be watching them after the other and be like, these guys are not serious, though. If it was in Nigeria, we no go agree. Then, while we were watching, Abacha showed us that not only can it happen in Nigeria, it's just about to happen. He formed five political parties, which Bola Ige called five fingers on a leprous hand, or five leprous fingers on the same hand, and it was not a lie. They were controlled by the same people. And all of them uniformly agreed to adopt Abacha as because they said they want to move into civilian rule. So all of them say, okay, Abacha will be our presidential candidate. And they organized a 2 million man match. Is it 10 million man match somewhere in Abuja? And there was one boy, Kalu something. Can you remember him? Yeah, youth eagerly, earnestly, asked for Abacha. And I remember the boy on TV saying, yes. If we don't put Abacha up there, we're going to make the country ungoverned. Wait, what happened to that boy, Seth? I hope somebody didn't behead him out of anger after Abacha died. Remember the guy? Yeah, just a bloody opportunist. It was all money. Yeah, use eagerly yen for ask for Abacha. We're watching it too. 2 million man match. I still remember Felix Liberty from Benin. Remember Felix Liberty? Remember him?
All these small, small boys don't know him. If I listen to what he says, that was the last time I saw him play. The song is supposed to be, he got to Abuja, he said, Abacha. I shook my head. I said, money now, bad thing. That this money is wicked. See, he's making a mess of an adult like this. The guy was playing guitar on television. I was watching it on stage. Abacha, I want to marry you. I mean, something. No, it's informal that he wanted to marry. I want you to be my role. One stupid thing like this. I looked and said, God, may I not love money? Big men who are now fighting for democracy, they were all queuing in Abuja there, collecting dollars. That was the time Nadeko was shown. No, Nadeko was shining because Nadeko guy said, nah, lie. Big men were queuing in Abuja. They said they are going for image laundering. And I had authentic information. Once you show up and say you are going for image laundry, they hand you $10,000. And we were watching that. What I'm telling the story is that it can never happen in Nigeria. Eh? Oh boy. Nah, this thing, they happen. No. I guess on brethren, what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers, they looked and said, "Shay, you said it couldn't happen. Better let's get up and do something so it does not happen." And then God had mercy. And I remember when they gathered all them deer, all those people, and said they plotted a coup. Tunde Bakare said, he said, if they are not dead by this particular date, they will be saved by an overnight miracle. That date came and went. They were not dead. That means they had to be saved by an overnight miracle. The gist we heard later was that their death warrant was on Abacha's table for him to sign. The day before that, he died.